Thanks for having me back. That's the surprising part, Pastor. You had us back. So thank you for that. We appreciate that. My wife, I can understand having my wife back, but me, I'm another story. And so thank you so much for being, number one, for being in church this morning. And God bless everyone who got up this morning, not just here, but all across the country, and got up and went to church. And then thank God for our soldiers. Praise the Lord for our soldiers. My brother-in-law was in the Navy, spent 9 months in Afghanistan, and a hero to us, a veteran really, and he's a soldier. He's a guy who I respect greatly. And also many of you, when all the veterans stand every year at Memorial Day, boy, that does something for me. And thank you so much for being here. Thank you for having this beautiful building. I tell you what, you just drive up and what a statement this building is on the outside, and get to walk on in and get to see the beautiful building on the inside. God's blessed us with a lot of the same stuff. And so I'm so thankful for this place. And then Pastor, thanks for being my friend. And thanks for taking me aside and just taking me under your wing, really. And he's a big guy. He can get a few people under there, especially if they're my size and Brother Donald. So, but then also I want to say, Pastor Donald, my friend, my buddy, iron sharpeneth iron, and that's our motto. And to the young people in the room, if you don't go to Pastor Donald's youth group, man, you're insane. You got to go. And if you do go, you're insane, because it is insane. And he's, you know, he had a reputation when I knew him that he made coffee nervous. That's how hyper he is. And so I love to sing next to him because he kind of takes all the attention away from me. He told me, he's like, hey, come on up to Michigan. You can relax. You can just kind of, you know, sit back, prop your feet up and enjoy. And he said, oh, by the way, you're preaching three times on Sunday and singing with me. So you're doing that. And then playing the offering. Learned about that one last night. But praise the Lord for all of it. I'm so thankful that I get to serve God. By the way, everyone here gets to serve God. You do. You do. And it's such an honor, such a privilege, such a blessing. My wife Cheryl is here. We're having our first child due July the 5th. And so, honey, it's 6 weeks away. Just about 6 weeks away. And so it's the first one. So now we're getting nervous. Okay, now it's like, oh, yeah, you know, here we go. We got a baby on the way. Now it's like, oh, my goodness, it's coming. And so we're preparing for that. God's blessed us with good health all the way through. And so we're so thankful for that. I just want to say again, thank you for having me. Thank you for allowing me to preach. Thank you for loving your pastor. Thank you for loving Pastor Donald, my friend, and for being the church that you are. What a church to get up this, man, from the first congregational song, singing out like that. That's a blessing to me. Huge blessing to me. If you would look again in the passage of scripture we just read. The Bible says in verse 5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath, what's that next word? Say it with me. Overwhelmed me. Horror hath overwhelmed me. This morning, perhaps you've encountered that word through a great trial in your life. I don't know. Perhaps you've encountered that word through a painful tragedy. Perhaps it's through failing health. Perhaps it's through finances that are gone. Well, that once were there. Perhaps today it's a lost loved one and you're overwhelmed and burdened by that. Perhaps today it's sin in your life, because sin can overwhelm you. Can I tell you today, there will come a point in your life, and there's been points in my life, and there will be many more, where you are to that place, you are overwhelmed. To be overwhelmed today, my friends, means to be completely covered. To be buried or drowned beneath a huge mass. To be defeated completely. And today, my friends, perhaps it's you. Someone once told me, they said, Stephen, you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or going into one. Each and every person in this room today will at some point in your life, you'll encounter this position, this condition, rather, of being overwhelmed. Can I tell you today, David came to a point in his life where he said, horror has overwhelmed me. I don't know where to turn. That's where we're at today. That's where you might be today. I don't know where to go next, Pastor Rich. I don't know where to go next, Pastor Donald. I don't know where to go next. Perhaps that's where you are today. And my friend, if that's where you're at, be not afraid, because David was there as well. And God put it in His Word for us to learn something today. When I think of the word overwhelmed, I think of a missionary family on their way to Cuba who just a few weeks ago spun out on some ice in North Carolina, crashing their van up against a pole, and their little 3-year-old daughter, Aslan, going to be in eternity still in her father's arms as he's trying to revive her. That's overwhelmed today, my friend. Overwhelmed with grief, overwhelmed with sorrow, saying, why? Have you ever asked why? Have you ever said, God, why? I have. Have you ever said, God, when is it going to end? Perhaps you're overwhelmed as well today. Perhaps you're thinking, this is it. And it may not be everybody, and that's why I think maybe I might be preaching to one or two people today. But the rest of us need it. Perhaps you're saying, this is it, we're not going to make it. We're done. Done with church, done with the Bible, done with God. It's just not working out. Maybe for you, it's sin. We talked about this earlier. Sin can overwhelm you. Samson was a man who was overcome, and he was really consumed with himself. Consumed with his strength and with the ability God had given him. And you know the story how that he was taken and they cut his hair. They poked at his eyes. They made him grind at the millstone. They put him between the two pillars and God came back. But sin destroyed his life. You've heard maybe the old outline. Sin blinds. Sin binds and sin grinds. And sin overwhelms your life. Perhaps today it's an addiction. Wouldn't surprise me in a crowd of people this big, this large, and a wonderful group of people it is. But wonderful people can experience addictions. For you today, I don't know what it is, and we won't go through a list because that's not necessary, but you know where you're at today. May I tell you today that bitterness will overwhelm you. Bitterness will consume you. Here's a story of two men as they're walking through the countryside. They were on their way to another village to help bring in the crops. As they walked, they spied an old woman sitting at the edge of the river, and she was upset because there was no bridge. There was no way to go across the bridge. And the first man kindly offered, "We'll carry you across the river if you would like." The second man grudgingly agreed, and they joined hands and they carried the lady across the river and put her down. After they'd walked another mile or so, the second man began to complain. He said, "Oh, look at my clothes. They're ruined. They're filthy from carrying that old lady across the river. And my back, oh, it still hurts. Oh, my word, I can't find any rest. It's getting stiff." And he began to complain, Pastor. A few more miles up the road, the second man, again, he was griping. He said, "My back is hurting so badly. It's all because we had to carry a silly woman across the river." And he fell to the ground and began moaning and complaining and groaning. The first man looked at his partner, now lying on the ground and acting a little foolish. And he said, "Do you want to know? Or have you wondered why I'm not complaining?" The second man kind of looked up from his position on the ground. And the first man looked down at him and he said, "Your back hurts because you're still carrying the woman. I put her down 5 miles ago." Maybe today, that's a little bit more realistic than we'd like to admit. There's something 5 years ago you haven't put down yet and it's overwhelming you. Because the Bible says bitterness is a root. It gets into your life and a root never just stays at one size. It grows. Maybe you're legitimate in your anger. Perhaps someone did do something to you that you didn't deserve. Perhaps you say, "Well, I didn't deserve what happened to me," and it's wrong and it's overwhelming you today. But bitterness is the only substance, my friends, that will destroy its own container. And that container is you, and it will destroy you and it will overwhelm you. Bitterness can overwhelm. Sorrow can overwhelm. Sorrow over loss of money, over loss of a loved one, over being betrayed. David said here, it was not just a man that I knew. It was my own friend. A man that I'd walked with and took sweet counsel, and he turned against me, and now I'm overwhelmed by the horror. Overwhelmed today, it's a very real word. I don't know what it is today, this morning, that's overwhelming you, but I got good news for you today. God loves working on impossible situations. God wants to work on your overwhelming situation. God wants to change your overwhelming situation. But more importantly, God wants to change you. God is the God of the impossible. May I remind you, David killed a giant when no one thought it could be done. May I remind you that Daniel slept all night in the den of a lion and never got so much as a scratch. May I remind you that no matter how many times the children of Israel thought they were out of water and food, God always provided. They always had shoes on their feet, always had food outside their door every morning. God provided for them even though they were overwhelmed, and he can do the same thing for you. You say, "Well, Brother Stephen, you know, that's a lot of noise you're making up there. But what do I do? You're not helping very, very much if you don't tell me what to do." I'm glad you asked this morning. Look with me, if you will, in verse 16. David, the man who wrote this psalm, said these words. He said, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Hold on. Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Psalm 61, verse 2 says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is, there's that word again, overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 143, verses 4 through 12. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all Thy works. I muse on the work of Thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. Verse 7. My spirit faileth. Hide not Thy face from me, lest I be likened to them that go down into the pit. Verse 8. Cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning. Verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto Thee to hide. Verse 10. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Verse 11. Quicken me, O Lord. Verse 12. And of Thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am Thy servant. How did David call? First thing he said was, God, please hear me. Can I ask you this morning, have you ever been to the point as a Christian? Have you ever been to the point as a child of God and said, does God even hear what I'm saying? Does God even know that I am here? David said, first of all, God, I've got to know that You hear me. Secondly, he said, God, comfort me. Verse 8, he said, cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning. Hear me, God, but comfort me. God, before we move on, got to have some comfort. Beg God to hear You. Beg God to comfort You. And he said, God, deliver me. You know, it's okay to ask God. It's okay to ask God to get rid of your trial for you. It's not okay to be bitter when He doesn't. David said, to be honest with you, God, I want You to get me out of this. This is crazy. This is insane. And God, I've got to go. I've got to get out. I must be delivered from this. And Pastor, I didn't ask, but what time should I be done? When I'm done, I'll be done. I'll be done in 15 minutes. We'll be done. And then he said these words. He said, teach me. Oh, here's the wisdom of the psalmist. He said, God, hear me, okay? Listen, God, please. It was Donald Savini who told me one time when I was going through something in college. He said, Stephen, you need to get alone in a room. And you need to put a chair in the middle of the room. And you need to imagine God in the middle of that room. And you just need to tell Him everything that you're going through right now and let Him deal with it. God, hear me. God, not only hear me, comfort me, because I'm struggling here, God. God, not only comfort me, deliver me, but God, through all of this, teach me. Teach me. What are you going through this morning that you haven't learned anything from yet, that God just says, I've got a lesson for you in this. It's to make you stronger. It's to make you better, not bitter today, my friend. And David understood. He said, God, I want to get out, but please teach me. But then he said this. He said, quicken me. You know what he was saying? Revive me. Saying, God, I know it's not You, it's me. Revival, middle letter of the word, I. Middle letter of the word, sin, I. Revive me, God. I know I'm going through this trouble. And I know I'm going through this trial. It'd be easy for me to blame You right now, God, but it's not You. It's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And David realized, I must be revived. The first solution to your overwhelming situation is call. You must call. You say, well, I'm going through all these trials and troubles and hardships, and I don't know what to do. Have you tried praying? Have you tried calling? What does the Bible say? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, and by the way, God's line is never busy. God always has the ability to send you a text message, my friends. And He will. But you've got to call. You've got to call, my friends. Second thing, look in chapter 55 again, our text chapter, verse 22. David said this, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Cast it. First, number one, you got to call. If you're not praying, you're not doing much as a Christian, my friend. You've got to pray. You've got to call. You've got to give to God your trial, but you've also got to cast. One of the greatest songs in the hymn book. If the world from me that withhold of its silver and its gold, And I have to get along with meager fare. Just remember in His word that He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, my friend, He will certainly bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. We've got to cast everything. Take my life and let it be. Cast our life upon Him. My life, Lord, is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul. I seek your will, never mine. Rich treasures to find. Give wisdom to choices I make along every path that I take. And so I complete life's race. Well done, you will say. It's got to be God's. Your life, the Bible says it, is not your own. Oh, sometimes I live like it is. Sometimes I live like, hey, this is my life. Back off, Buster. Preacher gets up in the pulpit, starts preaching, and I have to curl my toes in because, man, he's getting all over him, and he's telling me what I need to know from the Word of God. That's good for me, my friend, because it brings me to a point where I say, okay, God, here you go. It's not just your sorrow and your overwhelming situation you've got to cast. You've got to cast yourself upon Him. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. To cast is the same thing as to trust. Job said this, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. He also shall be my salvation. Whatever I go through, I'm putting it at the feet of Jesus. I'm putting it at the feet of God. Brother Stephen, today, how do I cast my cares upon Him? Number one, surrender. You must surrender. A, you must surrender. It's the key to the Christian life. God doesn't have your life. He doesn't have anything. He can't do anything with you. You must surrender. God, whatever you lead me through, whatever you want me to go through, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, here am I, Lord. It's not, by the way, as the old songwriter, the carnal songwriter said, I did it my way. It's have thine own way, Lord. I was walking through the store, Barnes & Noble, and I heard that song, I did it my way, and almost with an arrogance. Let that not be the theme of our Christians, my friends. Let that not be the theme of your life. Have thine own way. What's the second thing? How do you free that spirit up? How do you cast it before God? I'm going to give this one to you, and you already know this because you just did it. Singing. Singing. When we were singing up here, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. I wish I could sing a little more for you today. If I could, I'd stop and just sing right now. My voice has had just about enough for this morning. But I'm telling you today, singing will change your life. That's why we have a ministry. To be quite honest with you, that's why we have a ministry that's based around music, Faith Music Missions. It's so that you can grab a CD out there. And like Pastor Rich said, we want to make it easy for you to get it. It's not about the money to us. Now, don't take that literally. Don't go back there and walk away with anything. But it's not about the money. But so you can get a CD and you can throw it in the car on the way home and you can start singing, Christ is all I need. Christ is all. You start listening to it and your heart's hardened. Boy, you've just been going through it and you've been struggling. And before long, your toe may start tapping just a little bit. Not in a sensual way. Come on. And you may have to wave a hand because when they were up here singing, in God is our trust. Today, or in the let this be our motto. My hand went up. It'll shed a tear. It'll cause you to give a shout, my friends. Singing will change your life. That's why there's a whole book in the Bible about it. And many, many, many other hundreds of references throughout the whole Bible. How do you do it? You have to sing. How do you cast your cares upon Him? Sing. Number three, you have to serve. Surrender. Here you go, God. Sing. Let your heart go. Express your heart through singing, but then don't forget to serve. I told you about the missionary family, the Kretschmans to Cuba. Lost their little girl, yet in the hospital room, as mommy was laying there badly broken from the accident, four nurses received Christ as their personal Savior. Oh, I can't function. I can't serve. I'm going through too much right now. God says, serve, and you can be free. Serve, and it will help you. Too many times we become content to sit in the pews of the church. And by the way, if that's all you do, God bless you for it. But if God puts something on the inside and you need to serve Him in some capacity, 11 o'clock Saturday morning is rolling around. It's coming. Your truth trackers, it's coming. I already asked your pastor how many people would be in truth trackers, and I was amazed at the number of people just willing to serve. Unbelievable. God bless you for that, but you've got to serve. Brother Stephen, I know about the calling. I know about the casting. And I know that there's probably something else you're going to give me right now. But what is it? Psalm 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? The next three words are the best words for you right now. Hope in, not money, not some charitable organization, not a man. Hope in, say it with me, God. Hope in God. Number three today, you've got to call, you've got to cast, you've got to have confidence. You must have confidence in God. Let me tell you, the only hope, the confidence that you have, the only deliverance we have is through Jesus Christ. Today, listen up. If you're here today and you're a visitor, or you've been coming for just a short time, and you've not come to that point yet, where you say, God, I need you in my life. Today needs to be the day. You must have the confidence and the trust to say, God, I'm going to give you my life, and I'm going to accept you as my personal Savior. Can I tell you, it was the greatest day of my life. I wouldn't be here today without that day. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I wouldn't be one of the happiest people in the world. That's right. I believe I am. If you want to argue the point, then God bless you. That's wonderful. I'm glad you feel that way. But I'm happy today. And I'm happy not in myself, because in and of myself there is no good thing. I'm happy in Jesus today, my friends. And you can be too. You must have confidence. He's the answer. He's the answer to your fear, your worry, your anger, your bitterness, your hate, the judging, the jealousy, the addictions, the finances, the family, the hypocrisy, the envy, the critical spirit, the lying, the gossiping, lost sinners, America's politics. Oh, we better elect a good one, Pastor Rich. Let me just tell you, the answer's not in the White House. It's in God's house today. You, my friends, are the answer, because you're going to decide today. I may be overwhelmed, but I'm going to have confidence in God. Confidence in God. It's in He, Jesus Christ, is an exit strategy for every sin. He's a solution to every problem. He's an answer for every need. He's a cure for every imperfection. It's called the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ has made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure. He is all I need. I don't need drugs. I don't need alcohol today. I need the Spirit of God. Perhaps no one would know this better than a man by the name of H.G. Spafford. It's amazing we sang that song today. What a lot of people don't know is before the great tragedy that happened in his life, they lost his son to scarlet fever. He was a businessman. He had investments in Chicago. And the Chicago fire literally destroyed the bulk of his investments. He sent his family across the ocean, Christian man, like to serve in the big crusades of Moody and many great giant crusades that they would have in those days. He sent them ahead. He sent his wife and three little girls, Annie, Bessie, Tanita, and Maggie. You know the story. Across the ship in the middle of there, another ship collided with their ship and sent them to the bottom. They didn't have telephones and all the modern technology we have today. So his wife got to the other side. She made it alive, but her daughters passed away in the storm. His wife got on the telegram and just sent him a telegram and said, "Saved alone." On his way across the voyage, or on his voyage across to meet with his wife, the captain came down to his quarters and said, "Mr. Spafford, I thought you would want to know we're approaching a place where your daughters have been laid to rest." He came up to the helm of that ship and looked across the waters. And as he did, God gave him a song. We sang it. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." Can I ask you today, is it well with your soul? Are you overwhelmed? With our heads bowed and eyes closed today, Father in heaven, would you please